Let us pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. It is food for our soul, it is a light for our path. May it be so, especially so, on this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. What will mark the Christmas season of 2012? Much to the annoyance of my children, I spend a lot of time listening to the news in my car, and I've been listening intently, trying to discern what the focus of Christmas will be this year. And so this morning I heard an interview with someone who had been commissioned to write a Christmas carol for King's College, Cambridge. That was interesting, at least I thought so, my children didn't. It was Christmassy, and I kept on listening. The next thing on the radio was an exposé of another major event of this season, a release of a movie. It's called The Hobbit, and apparently it's really good. And apparently, wait for it, it's in 3D. And this was the source of some of this Christmas conversation on the radio, namely, is 3D a good thing? Yes, say some. No, say the others. The point of a movie isn't 3D graphics or surround sound. The point isn't to blow us away with graphical genius. The point of a movie is to tell a story. And this Christmassy radio conversation got me thinking. What would it be like if Peter Jackson or James Cameron or one of those high-flying directors were to direct a truly Christmas movie? Perhaps it could be called The Shepherds of Judea. Or perhaps Bethlehem. Don't be afraid. Verily, don't be afraid. It could be a biblical epic taken from our gospel reading for Christmas night. In fact, I'm sure a good director could take these few short verses and make a whole trilogy out of them and a range of interesting merchandise. If we were that director, we could do a good job. In fact, we could be historically accurate. We could pitch a story around a some poor shepherd. A character could be invented. A some poor street rat growing up hard on the streets of Jerusalem, running away from some threat, would come to a small country town where he's barely tolerated, but is given a job by the locals. The sort of job that only the lowly of the low get. The sort of job you give to people when you want to know where they are at night, namely, looking after the sheep. And then somewhere in the midst of this concocted story, we would bring out the full force of our 3D surround sound capability. One minute there would be the quietness of the sheepfold in the hills, the crackling of the fire, the babbling of a brook, the gentle blow of the breeze, and then blinding light, glowing figures, terror, surprise, and the air itself bursting forth into song. And we could spend 30 seconds of slow motion zeroing in onto our shepherd's face as it goes from startled to terrified to sheer shock. And we could play with the shadows and the light and zoom in from afar and play with the detail, and we could have a swelling orchestra giving it all the ambience it needs with guitar riffs over the top to add some nuance. If we were the director, it would be awesome. 3D surround sound awesome. We could tell the Christmas story. Or could we? After all, perhaps the person on the radio is right. The point is not to be blown away by the graphics. The point is to tell a story, to say something. And we have this tendency to be happy with the glitz. Especially when it comes to Christmas. After all, even just reading the gospel, we have the trappings. We can remember the shepherds who wash their socks or watch their flocks, and we can put them in the company with some little drummer boy. But then, that's just another way of looking at 3D graphics. The point of the story is not to be blown away by these trappings. It's not even to be blown away by the shepherds and the angels. Because the story that is told here is not found in the angels themselves, but in what the angels actually say. The point of this story is not the angels, it's the voice of the angels. After all, that's what angel means. It simply means messenger, ones who have a message. So let's remind ourselves this Christmas night, what is the real story? What is the message of the angels? Let me just quote some things from the angel to you. The angel said this, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people." Many years ago, a man called C.S. Lewis wrote a book about discovering God. It was called Surprised by Joy. Now, I was just a teenager when I last read it, and I can't recall much about what it said, but I do remember one thing. There was this notion that joy is not the same thing as happiness. You and I can probably remember the last time we were happy. Happiness depends upon happenstance, on things that happen. Something good and favourable and pleasant happens and we are happy. We may have experienced a good 3D movie and be happy about it. But joy does not depend on circumstances. The basis of joy lies deep in the state of one's being. Joy derives from a sense of rightness that is like bedrock certainty, while all the happenstances of life slosh backwards and forwards on the top. Joy isn't frivolous, it's deep, and it often manifests as quietness and contentment, even in the midst of life's storms. There isn't enough joy in this world. Our world is marked by happiness and sadness and all the things in between on either side of those things. There is great good in this world and great evil, and we often live stretched between the two. But the human heart cries out for a deep-set rightness. It cries out for a remaking within each of us, a remaking of society and community, a remaking of humanity as a whole. A remaking that builds a foundation of joy, peace, and contentment within us and around us. The voice of the angel announces such a thing. I am bringing you good news. What is that good news? It is great joy for all people. The voice of the angel continues and explains how that joy comes. To you is born this day, the angel said, in the city of David, a saviour, one who is the Messiah, the Lord. Here is the source of that joy, a saviour and Messiah. Perhaps this is the part of the Christmas story that we have difficulty with. Perhaps this is the part of the Christmas story that we would rather cover up with glitz and 3D surround sound. After all, the angel does not say, I bring you good news of joy. It was in you all along. All you have to do is to find your true self, think positively and be a decent person. All you need to do is be strong in yourself. That's not what the angel says. And we can understand that. Because that sort of strength doesn't lead to joy. A self-made joy is only as strong and it's only as stable as we ourselves are. And in the end, that isn't very strong. And it isn't very stable. And the shepherds would have understood this because the people of that time knew it. They, as a people, had passed through a history which had ups and downs with empires and wars, and when they had trusted in themselves, they had become a society not marked by goodness and joy, but marked by cruelty, oppression, inequity, and ultimately ruin. And so they, as a people, had come to look for something, for a hope outside themselves. They looked for someone who would make things right, who would build things anew, who could restore and forgive and reach down into the mire and draw them out. They looked for a saviour, a Lord, a Messiah, just the sort of thing that the angel was announcing. The voice of the angel announces the realization of their hopes. To you is born this day a Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be the sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. This Saviour doesn't come to us with the official stamp of approval. This Saviour doesn't come to us with 3D surround sound trappings. This Saviour comes in the humblest, the lowliest, and in the most unfortunate of circumstances, because he came as God to rebuild us and the world from the lowest ground up. The voice of the angels announces this story to the shepherds and to us. And when they have finished, they break forth into song. Glory to God in the highest heaven, they say, and on earth peace among those whom he favours. It's a song of joy. It's a song that speaks of peace and favour. Peace and favour, which aren't words that just mean the absence of war and the presence of prosperity. Peace and favour mean restorative rest. They speak of a transformed world. The voice of the angels, you see, in telling us the story of baby Jesus, catches up in that story the very hopes of humanity. The voice of the angels gives us an assurance that what God began in the babe of Bethlehem, he will also complete on his return, when peace and favour will be the fullness of the day. And the joy he has given us this day will not have been in vain, and the hope of those who place their hope in Christ will be vindicated. That hope, my friends, has no need of 3D special effects. That hope in Christ is the story of Christmas that can and must be told. It's this that marks the Christmas season of 2012. Just as it's marked every Christmas season since the very first one. Amen and amen.